Very pleased to have Jamie to exhort us today. So ask him to come forward now.
If I start mid-sentence, I'm probably yawning.
I don't know what I did with all my free time before Easter came along. Now I've got a shower a lot. Man, I'm pretty sure I could have worked two full-time jobs in the time to spend here and doing. Alright, so I was trying to think what to do for an exhort, and I told Mum the topic, and she's like, oh, Grandpa would love that. I was like, yeah, that's where I actually got it from. So it's about being content, because Grandpa's one of his favourite sayings, oh, just be content. Just be happy with what you have. So jumped on Bible Gateway, typed in content and contentment and all the other things that came up, and there's so much, you could probably write about 10 exhorts on it, so I just chose the ones that had similar themes. But I used Psalm 73 as the platform for this whole exhort. There are times when it might seem that the blessing of God has abandoned us. It is part of our preparation for Judgment Day. As sons and daughters, it is beneficial for us to be chastised. Hebrews 12, 6 and 7. And I use the NIV for all of these quotes because it just flows better for this topic. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? And skipping a few verses to 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It is during those hard times we sometimes forget that God is still with us and that he is continuing to watch over us. This was the situation for Asaph. People of the world seemed to be prospering while he suffered difficulties and distress. What profit is there in serving God when the wicked prosper and we undergo difficulties and distresses? We need to focus on the end goal, the ultimate end, that is, the wicked shall pass away with the world that they love so much, and we shall live throughout the ages to come. Ecclesiastes 8, 12 and 13. Although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that I will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before him. Yet, because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. When we take account of our position in the unfolding plan of God, we are able to look past the present distress to the future, when the former things shall be no longer remembered, when there shall be no more sorrow or pain. But generally speaking, men and women are too short-sighted to see their place in the greater picture. Instant gratification has become entrenched in most people's daily lives, in the Western world at least. I see that every day as a teacher. When, because the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, people seek only their present good, like Esau, who sold his birthright for a meal. The men and women of our age value present comforts more than promises that take us beyond the present to the eternal future. Being driven by their own greed, people seek to succeed in this present life, with success being measured in dollar value. I found a quote, I remembered a quote, but I couldn't find it, from some guy. I wish I could remember it. It says, people spend their whole life and burn themselves out trying to make themselves rich, and then when they become ill, they spend their whole fortune trying to get better again. So I've actually seen that a few times, people burnt out. But Luke 12:15 says, then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. Similarly, 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 9, that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Being content with our lot in life is truly great gain, rather than to become stressed and burnt out in a quest to get rich. The contented man only looks to the future kingdom with a slight regard for riches of this life. Like Paul, we must be content with whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, counting riches of this life to be dung compared with the glory to come. Philippians 3, verse 8. Oh, there's tons of verses in here, so let me try flip to them. Ecclesiastes 4, 6. Better one handful of tranquility than two handfuls of toil and chasing after the wind. Rather than be jealous of the worldly prosperity of the wicked, we look away from the pleasures of sin towards the great glory to be granted to those who have kept their focus on the end goal. In Psalm 73, we find Asaph beginning to lose his footing in spiritual things, confessing, "For I have envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But he only entertained such thoughts until he went into the house of God. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny." As Asaph considered the prosperity of the wicked, so Numbers 16 speaks of certain men who were 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. These men assembled of Korah in opposition to Moses as the leader of the people of Israel. These men were short-sighted, considering their present difficulties as evidence of Moses and Aaron's poor leadership. Moreover, you haven't brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Do you want to treat these men like slaves? No, we will not come. Here was the argument. Men could see with their own eyes that the promised blessings had not materialized, yet they could not see the reason why this was so. Because of rebellion of people, the inheritance would not come before a 40-year trial in the wilderness, yet Korah and his company wanted instant gratification. There is a danger that we can become like this in the way we direct our own lives. The promise is that we patiently continue in faith. We will be given the kingdom at the appropriate time, but today is a day of trial and chastisement. We must pass through in order to reach the blessings. Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Chastisement might seem as evidence that God is no longer with us, when the chastisement serves to confirm God's love for us, that we might grow in faith and become suitable for the kingdom to come. According to Psalm 73, those who are drawn far from God shall perish without hope, despite the apparent prosperity in the sight of men in this life. The second group of men described at the end of the chapter are those who draw near to God. Verse 28, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds." Asaph now recognized the end of the wicked, an advantage to having a clean heart in the sight of God. Now, taking a long-term view, Asaph acknowledged the privilege of being able to draw near to the throne of grace and the blessings that will come to those who desire reconciliation with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 describes the superiority of wisdom over riches. Ecclesiastes 7:12, "Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter, but the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it." Despite the temporary advantages of the current consumer society we live in, wisdom will prove itself to be worth far more than anything this world can offer. Money might be a guard against poverty and wealth, can safeguard us against some evils, but in the end, of the matter is that when a man's mortal existence comes to an end, he loses all. Ecclesiastes 5:15. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb. As everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. Job 1:21-22. Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. And the apostle brings together the two. 1 Timothy 6:7. The godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. If we find then the treasures of the wisdom are far greater, the treasures of wisdom are far greater than material treasures of this life, which are all lost when we die. This is a common theme in Scripture. Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Proverbs 3:13-15. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. The point being that if the things pertaining to wisdom of God are so much greater than natural riches of men, those are the things we should be seeking after. Colossians 3:1-2. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. There are a number of parables that teach this, and the point is emphasized in each. This is the effort required to obtain the treasure, just as the quote from Proverbs speaks of the man finding wisdom. Many parables speak of a man finding an item of great value, but what is prominent in each is not the finding, but the doing. For example, what must be done to obtain the treasure, e.g. selling all he has and buying the field that he buried it in, or selling all he has and buying the pearl. Our effort should not be to increase in worldly wealth, but attain wisdom. However, the practical fact remains that we do need to work in order to have those things needful to sustain our mortal existence. It is part of the curse which we are all subjected to. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. We operate amongst men and women of that mindset. To them, to progress life is equal to obtaining a job and a position that pays well and enables us to have nice house, cars, holidays, and whatever else comes from our heart's desire. There is pressure to seek promotions and get ahead, and to achieve this we must work hard and work long hours to please our employer. But working to please our employer in order to gain more pay is not always wise. Jesus taught in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, and so we should not try. However, to an extent, our labours are needed to obtain food and clothing. And so 1 Timothy 6:8 says, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Proverbs 15:6. The house of the righteous contains great treasures, but the income of the wicked brings ruin. Proverbs 38. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. We have the choice. Do we seek the treasures of the world or the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Luke chapter 12 recounts the parable of one who laid up treasures for himself. His ground brought abundance, brought in abundance, and he thought to himself, saying, what should I do, because I have no room to store my crops? And he said, I'll pull down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store my crops and my goods. To a natural mind, there is nothing wrong with his intentions. God has blessed him with wealth, and what more natural than to build bigger barns to accommodate it all? But the wisdom of God says, Luke 12:20, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then he will get what you have prepared for yourself. What should he have done with his wealth? Surely use it to help the poor. The case of a certain rich man comes to mind. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Do we trust in uncertainty of wealth? Do we seek after our own good to the expense of others who are needy around us? This was the one thing that the man lacked. And rather than enjoy his wealth, he sold it and provided for the needs of others. The love of money is the root of all evil.